I saw the light, no more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning, Election Day. Let us know what you're seeing out there. Text line 251-343-0106. We always appreciate the feedback. Still to come on the program, State Representative Barbara Drummond, one of the candidates for mayor here in Mobile. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall will be with us. So make sure that you stick around for that. Joining us now on the line, I've at least known of her for a very long time, but Jenny Beth Martin, from the one of the co-founders of the Tea Party Patriots. She's out on a bus tour. She's making a stop in Montgomery today. Joins us on the line. Jenny Beth, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me. I'm glad to be on with you, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for making time. We do appreciate it. Let's get rolling. And now you're on a bus tour. Now, it hasn't been without some issues. I guess in Arizona you ran into some problems, but let's first talk about what you're up to here with the Only Citizens of Vote bus tour, and walk us through how it's going.
All right, so we're doing the Only Citizens Vote bus tour, and our goal is to pass the SAVE Act into law. The SAVE Act will require proof of citizenship to register to vote. 87% of Americans agree only American citizens should be voting in American elections for president, Senate, and Congress. It's pretty simple. It's common sense. Yet there is a loophole in the motor voter law, the National Voter Registration Act law, that will allow it allows the government to create the form for registering to vote through a driver's license office. And the form currently only has a check mark where you affirm you are a citizen, but it does not require proof of citizenship. And we are trying to clean that up. In the state of Arizona, they require proof of citizenship up and down the ballot all the way to the lowest level, like school board or whatever the lowest level local elected office is. They were sued over this. And the Supreme Court ruled that they had to accept voter registration from the motor voter form. And so now in the state of Arizona, if you show proof of citizenship, you can have the full ballot. If you have not shown proof of citizenship, then you can still get a ballot for president, Senate, and Congress. So they have two kinds of ballots, the full ballot and the federal only ballot. When I heard about that, I thought it was so messed up. And then I've later learned it's because of the loophole and what happened with the Supreme Court. And we're simply trying to clean up that loophole, clean up the law, and require proof of citizenship.
Yeah, because, you know, when you lay it out like that, I mean, there's the states are grappling with this. And I think you've got to get some better direction from the federal government. We'll talk about it. What is that? This is a very difficult Congress to maneuver. What do you think? What kind of progress needs to be made here?
Well, you're right. It is a very difficult Congress to maneuver, and I appreciate the work that Speaker Johnson has done in being able to get bills passed that are in line with President Trump's agenda. And Speaker Johnson, along with Congressman Chip Roy and Senator Mike Lee, were the original sponsors of this bill. It's already passed the House of Representatives two times, once in the last Congress and once in this Congress, both times with bipartisan support, with a handful of votes from Democrats. This most recent time, it had four Democrat votes, but still, four voted for it, and I appreciate that. I don't think this should be a partisan issue. We have not had a vote in the Senate for it at all yet, and so when it comes to the Senate, we are hoping that this bill will be attached to what is called must-pass legislation, which will require, it's the kind of legislation that members of Congress vote for, because if they don't, they think bad things will happen, like the government would shut down if they don't fund the government. Now, I personally have been in favor of government shutdowns in the past, but most members of Congress do everything they can to avoid that. And since they work so hard to avoid it, you can often put things on a bill that will continue funding the government that are policy related. And that's what we're hoping we are able to do in the month of September when they come back from their August break.
Well, yeah, and you mentioned getting some, not widespread Democrat support, but a handful of members. What are the prospects that maybe you can... would a Democrat vote in the Senate, or is that even on the table?
I think that if it comes up as a standalone bill, I know we will need the 60 vote threshold to get it over the filibuster. And right now, I think the Senate is so partisan, even when the American citizens are not on an issue, the Senate still is. And I don't think we'd have enough Democrat senators to get it over the line. And I believe that because of that calculus of counting votes, it's really not calculus, it's more elementary than that, but because of that, the calculations that go into determining how many votes you have, I think that's why Leader Thune has not brought it up yet. He has to manage the Senate calendar time, and he would very likely rather prioritize President Trump's nominees over a bill that may not get past the filibuster. But if we attach it to something like an appropriations bill, a continuing resolution, those will be voted on in September. The National Defense Authorization Act will be voted on in December, or finalized by December. If we can attach it to one of those that the senators are going to vote on anyway, then I think that we can get it done. And that is our strategy and our goal. It's a little finessing and fine tuning of how, like, we're getting into the weeds about how Congress works. But in this issue, it's important to understand those ins and outs so we know how to accomplish our goal.
What's been the feedback? Now, you've been on the road a little while, and you still got a little while to go. Took a couple more weeks, to be precise. But, What's been the feedback you've been getting on this tour?
Well, the people who are showing up at our events are amazing. They're very dedicated. We've been in really hot, hot weather, and people are coming out at noon and on very hot days to show their support. Today in Montgomery, it's 3:00, not noon, but they're coming out even when it's hot to show their support for what we are doing. Also, when we stop at a gas station or at hotels and restaurants, people see the bus, they ask us what's up with it, we describe what's going on, and they are like, yeah, I agree with that. Isn't it that way already? And they kind of look confused. We explain why we're doing what we're doing. And then they're just like, it's such common sense. I can't believe that it takes this much to get Congress to do something that we all want anyway. Now, we have had some protesters, and we did have vandalism to our bus in Arizona. The protesters that we've encountered were not vandalizing the bus. We don't know who vandalized the bus. But the protesters have been peaceful. They're exercising their First Amendment rights. And in New Mexico, when we explained what we were actually doing, and they realized it isn't all about President Trump, and, you know, they just hate Trump so much that anything that is closely aligned with him, they're going to hate. But when we explained specifically what we were trying to do, they said, well, yeah, I agree with that. So even people with Trump derangement syndrome agree with what we're trying to do on this issue. And that was one of my goals as we started this. The goal, of course, is to pass the SAVE Act, but my goal also has been to remind Americans there are issues that unite us that shouldn't divide us. And I love everything President Trump is doing, and I'm very, very appreciative of President Trump. And so much of what he's doing right now, actually, most Americans agree with if you just pay attention to the issue and they set aside whatever their issues are with the president. And we were able to have some of those kind of conversations with protesters who even agreed with us when they understood the issue.
Yeah, because if you have the opportunity to at least try to convince an audience that this is something that isn't, just keep it in line with American tradition. Well, we expect citizens to be the ones who are voting here, not, you know, illegal or immigrants or anybody else not qualified to vote. Seems like a no-brainer. Seems like an 80-20 issue, but, in some places it's not true. And, I find this to be the case with a lot of these things. The media, Democrats, they try to sell us this conventional wisdom that isn't necessarily the case, right? That it's people, once they are kind of given the truth or, you know, like another perspective, they come around to your way of thinking.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And look, I can be as partisan as the next person, and I don't have Trump derangement syndrome. I probably have a bit of the opposite of that. Or maybe a lot of the opposite of that. But the fact is, there are a lot of things that we agree on as Americans. We agree that we don't want crime in our streets. Like, that is an 80-20 issue. We agree on this issue about only citizens voting. We want lower prices. We don't want inflation. There are a lot of issues that we can agree with. And oftentimes, I can rile people up and get them angry, but I also want to make sure that we're accomplishing the goal and we really are working to make America a better place, to make America great again. And I think that part of what we have to do as individual citizens to accomplish that is to have conversations with our fellow Americans, explain what the issues are, show that we agree, and then just go put pressure on our members of Congress to do the right thing.
Joined by Jenny Beth Martin from Tea Party Patriots here on the program. Let's talk about the Tea Party movement. It's kind of interesting to me. You go all the way back to 2009 and Rick Santelli there on the floor to Chicago Merc talking and kind of really started the spark there, I guess, if you would. It hasn't been front and center in a while, I guess, but kind of talk about the evolution there. The people who really backed the movement, they seem to have gravitated toward Donald Trump and this kind of MAGA populism, if you will. But what's it been like, you know, the last decade and a half?
Well, you're right. The movement was sparked by Rick Santelli on the floor of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange in February of 2009. He was complaining about President Obama's stimulus bill. But remember, that bill was on the heels of George W. Bush's TARP bill. So, and several bailouts that happened in 2008. So a lot of us were just sick and tired of the government spending and the government bailouts. And Rick Santelli said that our founding fathers would be turning over in the grave and we ought to have a tea party just like our founding fathers. About two dozen of us or so got on a conference call the next day and started planning a tea party. And a week later, we had tea parties in February, a week later, around the entire country. We had about 48 tea parties with 35,000 people in attendance. 6 weeks later on tax day, we had over 850 tea parties with over 1.2 million people in attendance. And then in September of that year, we had an event in Washington, D.C., and we had over 1.5 million people at that event in D.C. We have stood, did stand, and continue, and will continue to stand for personal freedom, economic freedom, and a debt-free future. And we think it's very important that we adhere to our constitutional principles. None of that has changed. We aren't out in the street very often protesting anymore. We are doing this bus tour, but it's not a protest tour. Because what are we going to protest? President Trump is doing a great job, and we've got a Republican Congress and a Republican Senate, and they are working to turn the campaign promises that they made and that President Trump made on the campaign trail into law. So and the same thing happened during President Trump's first term, there wasn't a lot for us to protest. So instead of protesting, what we have tried to do, shifting from being a protest group to working to pass legislation to figure out how we can make a difference, and oftentimes working to prevent bad legislation from happening or to improve bad legislation and make it less bad. And in our opinion, legislation that spends a lot of government money and drives up the debt almost always is going to be bad legislation or not the best legislation. And so we're constantly looking for ways to cut government spending. But on this bill that we're supporting right now, the SAVE Act, it really doesn't have a budgetary impact. I'm sure there will be some money involved in administering the bill, but it's mostly a policy bill. And we are just working very hard to shore up the policy and improve the policy. When we first began, we were new, and the news likes to report on things that are new. And then when we continued having protests, it wasn't new anymore. It just sort of was old hat, and they didn't pay quite as much attention to us. And then President Trump came on the scene, and he gets a lot of media attention, rightly so. And we support the things that he does. He began campaigning and testing the waters campaigning at various Tea Party events down in South Florida before he ever announced that he was running for president. And I think that helped him become a better candidate because he was right in touch with the American people, talking to them face to face, hearing their reply and their responses. And he's continued that the entire time he's campaigned with the rallies that he does. I think that he thrives when he's in front of the American people and gets that direct feedback from them on whether they like what he's saying or not.
Judy Beth, we got to wrap it up. Folks want to find out more about your tour or find out more about Tea Party Patriots, where can they go?
Go to demandonlycitizensvote.com, demandonlycitizensvote.com, and we'll be at the state capitol today in Alabama, right here in Alabama at 3 o'clock, and Congressman Gary Palmer is going to be joining us at this event. So I hope you guys can make it at 3 o'clock today and go to demandonlycitizensvote.com for more details.
Judy Beth, appreciate your time. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
All right, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
And know when to run.